Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Irvin Daf Lamed Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur on Daf Lamed Beis, the top line. More accurately, you'll see it the third line from the top, where Rav Sheshes is in a triangle. After having described in our previous sukkia the issue of chazaka shliach oisa shlichuso, can one rely on an emissary for carrying out his mission? We saw a machlokis between Rav Sheshes and Rav Nachmon, where Rav Sheshes said that not only on rabbinic matters can one rely on a shaliach, but even for Torah-related matters. In our particular sugya, so we saw that when it comes to something rabbinic, so there is agreement that a shliach will carry out his mission. We had mentioned this, of course, because we learned in our previous shiur that an eruv that is sent with an imbecile or a minor or a deaf mute, if you instructed someone as your emissary to receive it from them and place it down for your Eruv, you can rely on your emissary as establishing your Eruv on your behalf. As far as the minor or imbecile or deaf mute carrying it out to that point, so the Gemara said you can rely on them because you're actually Omeid Vareya, you're standing and watching them. Marking wise, you can see we've used a triangle as explained under the Mivneh heading, Mino Amino Law. From where do we know? In the Hesberim Rav Sheshes Rav Nachman. With the triangle point facing up, you'll see it's Rav Nachman offering the source for his point of view that Bishel Torah, even in Torah-related matters, an emissary, a shliach, will carry out his shlichus. At various points in the Gemara, you'll notice a squiggle underline, and in this case, we're using that to show dechios, rejections of whatever had been said till that point. Under the nosei heading on the side, behemshech ha'omud we've written on the as the omud of the as this page of Gemara continues. HaGemara tavi dugmois shel shlichus. The Gemara will bring examples of shlichus, of agency. May hakrovas ha'imer, hakrovas kine zovois violdos, hafroshes trumas umaisres. Three topics. Hakrovas ha'omer is the offering of the Omer offering, which is offered on the 16th of Nisan, and this is a grain offering, it's actually a barley offering that allows the population to benefit, to eat from the new grains of that season. The Hakrovas Kine Zovos Vyodos are a reference to women who had been in a period of Tuma, and after their period of Tuma lapses, they bring bird offerings. Those are kine are bird offerings for zavos and yaldos, two different categories of women. And there, of course, is an issue of agency there as well, that will their offerings have been carried out for them. And hafrosh shtrumas umaisres, the issue of tithing. Now we look in the Gemara. Omar of Sheshes, Meno Amino Law, from the third line, you can see, from where do I know this? We should also point out, there is a Roman numeral number 1 and 2 to the right-hand side of the Gemara text. In effect, these are two versions of what's being presented in an opposite fashion. The first version, and then the mirror image of that will be in the second version. That's why we have a Roman numeral 1 and 2. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Sheshis, Mino Amino Law, from where do I know that even on Torah matters, you can rely on the agent as carrying out his agency? Shliachos Shlichuso. Disnan, the Mishnah says, Mishikarva Oimer, once the Omer, the grain offering on the 16th of Nisan, has been offered in the Beis HaMikdash, Huter HaChodosh Miyad, the new grains of that season, those grains that had grown over the course of the winter, and now we're, Nisan is the beginning of the spring season, so all the new grains are mutter for the public to benefit from. For Rechikim, those people who are living at a distance from Yerushalayim, mutarin mechatzos hayom ve'ech, they can eat from their new grains from midday onwards. V'ha'chadosh, the issue of the new grains, the prohibition of eating them, d'oraisahu, it's a Torah-level prohibition. V'katoni, ha'rochoyki mutar mechatzos hayom ve'elechen, we are taught here that those people who don't see what's going on, they live at a distance from the Beis HaMikdash, they live outside Yerushalayim, they are rechoykim, they can eat from the new grains from midday onwards. Lav mishum chazoka shliachos shlichuso. Is this not a function of our relying on agency, that those who are charged with the mission of offering the sacrifice will have done so? So we see from here that on matters that are Torah related, like the isur of chodosh, we rely on what has to be done will be done. Rav Nachman, who disagreed, who says on matters that are deraisa, you don't rely on shlichus. What is his response? How does he explain this Tanaic source and that it shouldn't contest his position? Hasam kidiktoni taimo. There, in the case of Omer, as the reason is given. The public knows that the court that is charged with overseeing the offering of this sacrifice are not lazy. That's misat ein bezin misatzlin bo. So what we're dealing with over here is something that's court appointed and not a matter of mere common shlichus, common agency. That having been said, this shows that the Omer is a level above common agency, and that's why only in the Omer you can rely on the matter getting done, but not in something that you're depending on your friend, the Shaliach. The Iko, the Amri. Now, we're going to present the same topic, but in a mirror image. Others say, Omar Rav Nachman, Mino Amin Allah, from where do I know that you cannot rely on common shlichus with regard to matters that are de oraisa, de kotoni taimo. In the case of the Omer, the reason is spelled out why there the Rechaikim can rely on it having been offered by midday. People know that the court that's appointed to oversee the Hakrovas Omer are not lazy. And from here we infer, based in Hu Delo Misatzelbo, it's based in, it's the court that are not lazy. Hoshliach Misatzelbo. But a common agent, the common shliach, might very well be lazy about his mission and not fulfill it. Rav Sheshes Omerloch, Rav Sheshes responds. Rav Sheshes, who is of the opinion that agency is relied upon even on Torah matters, he learns as follows. Based in Ad Pal Gedim, when it comes to something that's overseen by the court, they are extremely diligent. And even by midday, it will have been taken care of. Shliach, when it comes to a matter of shlichus, there, kule yoma. You'll have to give him all day before you can assume that he did his mission. But after all said and done, he will have done his mission. Even on a Torah-related matter, you can rely on him. Omar Rav Sheshes, Mino Amin Allah. Basically, after Rav Sheshes tried to use Omer as a source, so we saw that Rav Nachman rejected that as a base. So we try again, hence another triangle, and you'll see as we go down the Omid, even a third triangle. So Rav Sheshes says, from where do I know that shliachos shlichazok shliachos shlichusu even by dinim that are doraisa? The sanyo. Ha'isha sheyesh olel leida oziva, a woman who had given birth, who had experienced the female blood flow known as ziva, who as a result of these things has to bring sacrifices, bird sacrifices. Mevia mois, she brings money, the value of two birds, which constitute her sacrifice. Venosenis b'shofar, the money is deposited in a receptacle known as the shofar. And the money, once it's deposited there, is then withdrawn by the kohanim, who process the korban. They take the money and buy birds with it on her behalf. So we're dealing with a type of shlichus. And then, as a result of this, the woman who had been tamei up till now had been prohibited in eating kodshim, in eating that which is sanctified or of a sacrificial nature. Now, that evening, she can immerse in the mikveh and then partake of kodshim. My taima, why is that assumed? Why is it? Why is she allowed? Lav mishum davrinon, is it not because we say shchazoka shlichos shlichuso, that there is an assumption that a shlich will carry out his mission? And here you're dealing with something that's quite clearly of a Torah level nature, not a rabbinic nature. The issue of purification and subsequent eating of sacrifices is a Torah area. So we see, like Rav Sheshes, Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman's response, Hosam Kidarav Shmaya. There we can explain why we are so certain and why we rely on the bird offering have been fulfilled. Based on Rav Shmaya's teaching, Gemara Rav Shmaya, Chazoka ain't based in Shokleihanim Oimdin Misham. There is an assumption, a status, that the court of Kohanim will not depart the scene, ad shi cholu kol moishe b'shofar, until all the money that was deposited in the shofar receptacle are used up. In other words, they're all spent for the purpose of offering these sacrifices. So once again, what do we see? And we dashed underline the expression based in to emphasize that we're not dealing with common shlichus, but rather we're dealing with a court supervised matter. And a court has more reliability than a common shaliach. That having been said, so Rav Sheshes needs to find a new source. Om Rav Sheshes, Mino Aminola. From where do I know my point that on Torah level matters, you can rely on shlichus? Desanya. We have a little note, there's a star on the side. He'ora. Protim chashuvim lavonas hamokri yuvou behemshech ha-gemora, besof ha-gemora, haketa musuman, with houses. There are some important details that demand explanation that will be done by the Gemara later on. So, in the meantime, what we have to do is focus on our initial task, and that is establishing a basis for Rav Sheshes that Chazoka Shliach Osa Shichuso even by the Oraisa. So we have a source. And we're also labeling this as a long answer, because the question is from where does Rav Sheshes know what he said, hence the long answer marking. Here we're dealing with the topic of tithing. An owner of a fig tree grove says to his friend, go and collect harvest or collect for yourself te'enim from miteinosai, from my fig trees. And he didn't. The owner didn't mention any amount. Just go and collect. The owner doesn't know how much will be collected. Ochel mehen aroi, the customer, if you will, the friend, can eat from the figs without tithing, as long as he isn't eating a fixed meal of them. Aroi means we'll call it snacks on them. Umasron vadai, when it comes to, if he's interested in eating a fixed meal, an achivas keva, as it's called, he then has to tithe from a position of certainty, meaning that he is sure that the figs he has tithed were not taken care of by the owner, for the very simple reason, because the owner doesn't know how much has been collected, so there's no way that the owner would have tithed from some other place to exempt that which he has collected. The owner doesn't know how much was collected. When you're dealing with tithes, there are amounts. You have mice, you have truma, and especially when it comes to maisers, maiser rishon, maiser sheni, 10% for each type of tithe. Truma, albeit, is a smaller amount, but the owner doesn't know anything by way of amount that has been collected. Hence, the owner could not have possibly tithed on the customer's behalf. However, another case, malei l'chol kalkola ze te'enem mitenosei, the owner of the tree of the grove gives the customer a basket. The basket has a known size. You can see he knows how much the basket contains. And the customer is permitted or instructed to collect for himself this amount of tanim, a known amount. Ochel mehen aroi, the customer can snack on them without needing to tithe, because achilas aroi doesn't demand the need to tithe. However, umasron demai, when he wants to have an achilas keva from it, he tithes, the customer will tithe from it. However, demai, meaning it's a tithe done out of doubt. There's a major difference between tithes that are done from a vadai position as opposed to those that are done out of a suffik, a demai position. If you are tithing and you know that it has definitely not been tithed before, so the tithes that you've set aside must be given to the respective recipients. However, a tithe that's done from a demai perspective, you set aside, let us say, the Levi's portion or the Oni's portion, and you set it aside, but you don't have to give it to them because maybe it was tithed. Then when it comes to Truma, when it comes to Meiser Rishon, or it comes to Meiser Oni, which are matters of mere monetary concern as opposed to Truma or Truma's Meiser, those things, when it comes to monetary concern, it's the burden of proof is upon the recipient to prove that the owner had not previously tithed from this, or tithed on his behalf, on the customer's behalf. Therefore, being that the owner knows how much has been collected, it could be that the owner will tithe on behalf of the customer, and leaving the customer with no need to tithe. So there's an issue of doubt in this case. That's why it says, Masron Demai. Bamed Vamamurim. Now, we've used this double underline marking to highlight the Bamed Vamamurim phrase, because we're going to see in the next few lines a machlokis between Rebbe and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. And in each case, you'll see the significance of the Bamed Vamamurim marking. So when is it that we say Ma'asron Demai? That's Be'am Ha'oretz. That's when the no saying, the owner, is an ignoramus. Avo b'chover, if the owner of the grove is a chover, he is someone who is reliable and trustworthy when it comes to the matter of tithing, he's a knowledgeable, trustworthy tithing individual, then ochel the eino tzorach la'asir, divrei Rebbe, the customer who's collected can eat without any need for tithing, because the owner, being a chover, definitely would have tithed it. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Bamed Vamamurim Vamoretz. Notice in both cases, and here the marking helps your eye focus, both Rebbe and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel say that the issue of tithing from a suffik, from a demai standpoint, regards the owner that's an Amoretz, Avol. Now notice here is a difference. Avol b'chover, when the owner of the grove is a chover, according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Eino Ochel Ashiaser, the customer cannot eat from the basket that he has collected, basket of figs that he's collected, he cannot eat from them until he tithes, until he does a definite tithing. And now that means, in other words, the owner definitely has not tithed. The owner definitely has not tithed on behalf of this customer. Why? Because in order for the owner to have tithed, he would have had to do so at a distance, meaning the customer is out there in the field of trees, in the grove of trees. The owner is back home somewhere. So, in theory, the owner could have removed or set aside other figs on behalf of this customer, but he's not next to where the customer is. And as a result of that, there's a halacha which has to do with tithing at a distance, which is something one should not do as a first choice, because we're supposed to be torim min hamukof. Mukof means items next to each other. So Rav Shmuel says that if the owner of the grove of trees is a knowledgeable, he's a chover, so then the customer cannot eat at all until he tithes. Lefi shalom nechshedu chaverim litrom shalom min amukov. The chaverim, the chover, chaverim is the plural, they are not suspect of tithing from a distance. They are not suspect of tithing unless they're next to the item being tithed. In other words, the tithe that's removed must be next to the produce that will benefit from the action of tithing. The two food items must be next to each other, and in this case, obviously, they're not. Omar Rebbe, Nirin Devorai Midivrei Abba. Abba is Reb Shimon Gamliel, it's his father. Here you have an interesting case where the son argues on his father. So Rebbe advances his position, says, my opinion is more likely. Why? Mutav Shiech Shidu Chaverim Litrom Shaloi Min Amukov. Better. Chaverim should be suspect of tithing from a distance. V'lo yachinu l'amei oretz tevolim. And not feed ignoramuses untithed produce. In other words, if you are a owner and you're a knowledgeable person, you'll be very concerned that your customers don't eat something that's forbidden to eat, tevel. So even if it's at the expense, so to speak, of your doing the tithe on his behalf from the distance, so be it. Ad kan lo pligi elo. There is a machlokis between Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel, but it's a technical type machlokis. Ela demor sovar nechshedu, mor sovar lo nechshedu. Rebbe holds that the owners are suspect, so to speak, of tithing from the distance, in order to, of course, as we saw, save the customer from a bigger sin. Umor Sova and Reb Shimon Gamliel says they are not suspect of tithing from the distance. But it's a technical issue of would someone tithe from the distance? Avul kulei alma. But if it were a matter of simple agency, of relying on someone else to carry out your needs, everyone will agree, chazoka shliach osa shlichus. And here, again, you're dealing with tithes, which is a Torah-level concern. So, just to repeat this point, if not for the technicality of being Torah, shalom and amukov, if not for that, the basic reliance on someone else to carry out your needs through shlichus, everyone would agree you could rely on a shliach. V'Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman, what is his response? Hosom kidurav chanino choizo. There, in the case of the tithing, it's according to Rav Chanino's teaching. The Yom Rav Chanino choizo, chazoka hu al chover she'eno motzi davor she'eno mesukon mitachas yodo. In the case of tithing, we have another principle that is in action beyond the issue of simple shlichus. But this additional principle states that a chover, one who is trustworthy with regard to the realm of tithing, will not allow to pass from under his hands, from out of his possession, anything that has not been mesukan, that has not been tithed. That is a weightier concern or consideration than simple shlichus and simply someone charged with a mission. So if it's a mission, so to speak, within the realm of tithing, there you can rest assured things will have been taken care of. However, if it's something outside the realm of tithing, then Rav Nachman will say that on Torah level matters, we won't rely on the shliach of carrying it out. We look at the Rashi, just to make sure that we give you a totally accurate explanation. Rashi, toward the end of the narrow lines, Machma mitachas yodo. Rav Nachman concedes in the case of tithing, you can rely on the shaliach, so to speak, but it's not a case of real shlichus, as Rashi says, the oil peri di dehu, since it's his fruits. We're talking about an owner and a customer. Since we're talking here about the owner, so, and it's his fruits, ole didei romi, it's his obligation. It's not that I'm working as an agent for someone else to help someone else carry out his obligation, but here it's my obligation. V'chayish lifnei iver, and here the owner is choshesh, he's worried that maybe he'll cause someone else to stumble, which is known by the term lifnei iver. Avos shliach dekoblo ole michavero, but a simple agent that accepts upon himself the task concerning which he was appointed by his friend, he might give up and not carry out what he was set out to do, what he was charged with. The shliach can rationalize or say he's not really relying on me. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a note. The star draws your attention to the side. Heora ad kan beinyan shliachos l'shlichuso. Up till now, our discussion concerned that issue of shliachos l'shlichuso. Hemshich haGemara ad haMishnah baOmid beiz dona b'mokur deliel ha'imer lechavero. From here till the Mishnah on Omid beiz. You can see a Mishnah on the first third of Omid Beis. We'll deal with the source we had above. Just to remind you, if you are interested in being in touch with us at Gemara Markings, you can reach us at email gmarkings@gmail.com. As we said, we're turning back to the source we just read, Omar Mor. This is a quote, Bameh Dvorim Amurim, and by the way, there's a little arrow that you can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, drawing your attention to the Gemara above. Omar Mar, Bameh Dvorim Amurim, when is it that tithing is done from a demai, a suffix, a doubt standpoint, as opposed to a certain need to tithe? That's Be'am Ha'oretz, Aval B'chover, Oichel v'eino tzorach la'aser, divrei Rebbe. But when you're dealing with a chover, so you can eat and not need to worry about any tithing whatsoever. Hai am oretz de ka'omar leman. In the source above, we had an owner that was an am oretz, and we saw an owner that was a chover. But who is he talking to? Who is being addressed? And in order to decipher this issue, the structural note on the side indicates the use of the house marking. Shlavim levarer b'mi medubar b'braisa. These are stages in trying to figure out who are we talking about in the source above. So the question right now is, the Amoritz owner was speaking to whom? Ilemo de komar la Amoritz chavrei. If the owner, Amoretz, was talking to his friend, a customer, who was also an ignoramus, Me'asron Demai, in the source above, that was the instruction, that the owner shall tithe them from a Demai standpoint, from a Sufik, a doubt standpoint. Mitzayas, would he listen to you? And Amoretz is not going to listen to such an instruction. Ella, rather, the case above is Be'amoretz Tikomar Le Lechover. The owner of the tree grove, of the fig grove, was an ignoramus, and he is saying to a chover to go out and collect figs, collect for himself figs. Okay, so at this point we've established that the source above deals with an amoretz owner talking to a chover customer. A chover being someone who's trustworthy, and when halacha instructs him to tithe out of doubt, he'll do so. Emo Seifa. We continue reading, quoting from the source above. Nirin Devarai, Rebbe had said that my approach is more likely midivrei Abba than father's approach, and Rav Shmuel Leo's approach. Mutav shiachshidu chaverim litram shalom min amukav. Better for chaverim to be suspect of tithing at a distance. The al yachilu la'ameoretz tevolim, and not be guilty of feeding ignoramuses. And who is being fed here? The customer, who is portrayed here as an amoretz tevolim, untithed produce. Well, ameoretz my boy hasam, but the way we set up the source was that the customer was a chover. What's the amoretz doing over there? Omar Ravina. Here we continue. This is an additional stage in deciphering the source. That's why we have a house here. So Ravina says, Omar Ravina, Reisha be'amoretz shomer lochover. In the Reisha case, we had the owner was an amoretz, but he was addressing a chover, someone who would listen to the instruction to go ahead and tithe. Seifa. The Seifa is that which we saw in the most recent framed section that was labeled the Seifa. What is really the case over there? b'chover she'omar li'ama oretz b'chover acher shomoi, where the owner is a chover, the actual owner is a chover, and he is speaking to a customer who's an amoretz, but an outside chover, an outside person who is himself reliable and diligent in tithing, overhears the instructions, and overhears the instruction to go and collect. And it's on this case that we have the machloikis between Rebbe and Reb Shimon Leo. And the Gemara explains. And by the way, this is part of a long answer. We have a long answer marking that will take you down a number of lines down the top of Amud Beis. So what's, again, the case of the Seifa? You have an owner who is a chover. He has a customer who is an amoretz. And the amoretz is collecting a basket with a known quantity to it. And is a chover overhearing this? Rebbe Sofar, also chover ochel veinu tzorach la'asir. That outsider, if he wants to eat from those figs that the amoretz picked, he can eat from them and doesn't have to worry about tithing. Devada yisurim asir uchover kamo iluya. The owner, who is also a chover, definitely will have tithed those figs at long distance. In other words, the owner took other figs that he had in his home that were tevel, that were untithed, and he set them aside to cover, to exempt the basket of figs that this amoretz was collecting. Having definitely done that, the other chover that heard this whole story, he can go and eat from those figs that the amoretz collected. And why is that? And as we said before, the Gemara will repeat this later, it's because the owner is overly concerned, especially concerned that no one should eat from his figs and stumble on eating tevel, on eating something that's untithed. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, lo yochal ad she'aser. The outsider, chover, that heard the conversation should not eat from those figs picked by the amoretz. Don't eat from them until he tithes himself. That owner who was a chover, by virtue of the fact that he was knowledgeable, he also knows that the proper way of tithing is from minamuka, from produce that is next to one another, where the tithe is removed from fruits that are next to it. In other words, all the fruits are together, the tithe and the fruits that become chulin. And as a result of being concerned with doing things the right way, he wouldn't tithe it at all for the benefit of the customer who's out there at long distance. The Omale Rebbe, and Rebbe says to Rav Shimon Leo, Mutav shechshedu chaverim litram shalom min amukov, better for people to be suspect of tithing long distance, the al yachilu ame horetz tevolim, and not be guilty of causing ignoramuses to eat something that's untithed. Be'emai komifli, what's the underlying point of controversy? Rebbe Sovar, nichole lechover d'leved u isura klila, it's more likely, more nicho means pleasant for the chover, who's the owner, to be in violation of an isura klila, a light level violation, namely tithing at long distance, below levit amoretz isura rabba, and not have someone else be in violation of eating something untied, which is a great type, as a serious offense. So Rebbe is saying basically a person will sacrifice himself and violate a low level offense to save his friend from violating a serious level offense. Reb Shimon Leo Sovar, Nichoy Lechov Levid Amoretz Yisur Rabo, a person will prefer that someone else be guilty of a major offense, Viu Afilu Yisur Klilo Lo Evid, but on himself. He himself should not violate even a low level, a light level offense. And this being that when it comes to sinning, according to this approach, one doesn't have a right to personally sin in order to save someone else from a more serious offense. At this point, turn to the Pirush Chai, the book of illustrations that we've been using since the beginning of the Masechta, even though for the last number of Dapim we haven't been using illustrations, there was no need for them. But now we turn to our Pirush Chai. This will be the first of the illustrations in the third Perek, Perek Shlishi. So we restart our numbering reference. In this case, we're going to be advising to look at illustration number 1. So if your Pirush Chai is open and you can see, you see a tree and the loaf placed on the tree. The loaf represents the Mozen Shtei Sudas, which will be our Eruv, and we're going to be continuing to talk about an Eruv Tchumin. A person wants to establish his Shabbos location, in this case at the area of the tree. The city being, let's see, at a maximum of 2,000 amas from this tree. The person in question wants to establish the tree as his Shabbos location so that he can walk another 2,000 amas further from the tree. When we speak about 2,000 amas, just bear in mind those are maximum distances. So we now turn to the Mishnah, being that we have all seen the diagram on page 76, diagram 1. Nosnoi be'ilon. Actually, before we read the Gemara, even the Mishnah, we should glance at the side where we have a topic heading. The topic heading at second thought will be of greater value once we finish the Mishnah. So let's do the Mishnah. Nosno be'ilon, lamala me'asorot tfochem ein eruva eruv. A person placed the food on a tree above 10 tfochem, so the eruv is not legitimate, doesn't work. Lamata me'asorot tfochem eruva eruv. Lower than 10 tfochem, within 10 tfochem of the ground, the eruv is effective. Nosnoi bebor, afilu omok meo amo, if he placed the eruv in a pit, even if the pit is 100 amos deep, eruvo eruv. The eruv takes hold, it's effective. The Mishnah, as everyone can see, requires a great deal of explanation. Rashi, interestingly, at every point here, he says, meforish begemora, the Gemara will explain. Yosef, Rabbi Chiyo bar Abo, Rabbi Asi, Rehovo bar Nosson, Yosef, Rav Nachman, Gabayu, V'yasvi v'ko'amri. So you have a group of three Rabbonon in the presence of Rav Nachman, and they sat there and said. Now, you can see, just by looking at the Gemara, we have double underlines and triangles. On the side of the Gemara, we have our Nosei Mivneh heading. The double underlines are also accompanied by Roman numerals 1 and 2. They represent Shnei She'elos Biwura Masnisen, two questions of clarification on our Mishnah. Shemechalekes Banochus Eruv Be'ilon Bein Lamato Me'asora, Dahavi Eruv, Ulamalo Me'asora, Eino Eruv. Our Mishnah made a distinction between an Eruv above 10 Tfochem or within 10 Tfochem of the ground. Number one, Hai Ilon Hechokoi, where is the tree? Now, after Roman numeral number one, if you notice in the Gemara, you'll see triangles. These triangles are going to then be stages in answering that question number one. And then Roman numeral two, Dimiskave Lishbos Hecho, the owner, the person who wants to establish his new tum, where exactly does he intend to showvase, to establish his location? So we have two issues here. We have the tree's location and the person's location. The triangles, as we mentioned, Shlovei Bur Toch Kol Echad Mishelos Hanal, stages in analyzing questions 1 and question 2. The Gemara. So we said that we have the three Rabbonim whose names we underline are sitting the Kwamri, and they said, Hai Ilon Dekoi Hecha, noting that we are involved with what we call a long point. It's their questions and answers, but form a point of clarifying the Mishnah. So the issue is the Ilon, Hai Ilon Hecha Koi, Koi Dekoi Hecha, where is the tree? If the tree is, let's say it's 2,000 amas from the town, but it's in someone's backyard. There's a house out there. It's an enclosed area that is a Rishus Hayochid. If that's where the tree is located, Mali Lamalo Mali Lamato, what difference does it make at what height on the tree the bread was placed? Rishus Hayochid Oilu Adorokia, there is a concept that a private domain, that which is, we'll say, the area that's enclosed, has the status of Rishus Hayochid up till heaven, meaning no distinction to be made whatsoever in height. The Elo de Koy Rishus Rabbis, we must establish that we're talking about a tree that's not in a courtyard, but it's a tree that's positioned on a major thoroughfare. When you deal with a Rishus Rabbim, there is a chiluk between under 10 and above 10. That having been established, the miskavein lishbos hecho, the person, where does he want to be koine shvisa? Where does he want to be exactly? E lemo de miskavein lishbos lamalo, if he wants to be above, he wants to be up there in the tree. Hu ve'eruvo b'mokoim echad hu. He and the Eruv are in the same place, which is great. Why then does it say in the Mishnah that Lamalo me'asora ein Eruv o Eruv? Elo deniskavein lishbois lamato. He wants to be on the floor, on the ground. And therefore, the Eruv has to be within 10 tefachim. And again, we're talking about a tree in a Rishus HaRabim. So, the tree's in Rishus HaRabim, the Eruv is within 10 tefachim, which is called, like we'll say, part of the Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, he and the Eruv are in the same location, because he wants to be Shoveis, he wants to be Koines Shvisa there in the Rishus HaRabim. So, everything is kosher, is good, right? Not so. The Gemara asks, "V'ha kamishtamish be'ilon, is he not in violation of using a tree?" There's a rabbinic prohibition of taking things off a tree. The rabbinic prohibition is not to use a tree. So, taking something that was sitting on a tree, taking it off the tree, is a violation of the use of a tree. So, is he not guilty of mishtamish be'ilon? In other words, if he wants to gain access to his Eruv, and access to an Eruv is very important, it's very important to have the option of gaining access to the Eruv, how then is this a kosher Eruv? Rashi says, V'hol mishtamish bilon ki shokile, when he takes the Eruv, when on Shabbos he wants to eat, let's say, that bread which was his Eruv, he's using the tree, V'am Eruv Eruv, afilu matam yasor, even under 10 tefachim. V'hol lo motzi shokile, he can't take it, shimush ilon shvushu, kidistani le mishum shvus, as the Mishnah basis says, that these are rabbinically prohibited. Lo olin be'ilon, wadin, you're not allowed to climb a tree, or in general use a tree. Rashi goes on to say that there is another problem, that namely taking from the tree itself, which is a karmelis, which is a rabbinic domain, to where he is in the Rishus HaRabim, is that also not a problem? But that is not the question that the Gemara raises, after the Gemara is raising one of two possible questions. It's raising just this issue of Mishtamish B'ilon. The Gemara explains, it answers, it says, Li'oilom dekoi b'shus harabim v'niskaving lishbois lamato. Basically, as we already understood, we established under Roman numeral number 1, level bays, the triangle bays, namely the tree is in Rishus HaRabim, and Roman numeral number 2, triangle 2, we also established he wants to be there in the Rishus HaRabim. The question then is, well, what about the use of the tree? The Rebbe he, and this Mishnah is in accordance with Rebbe, the Omar. Rebbe's Shita is, Kol davar shumishum shvus lo gozru olov bein hashmoshes. Rabbinic prohibitions, that's shvus, means rabbinic prohibitions, the rabbis don't impose their restriction regarding the time period known as Bein HaShemoshos. That's the time period, the twilight time period between Friday and Shabbos, after sundown before the three stars. That period is called Bein HaShemoshos. That's the time that the Eruv takes effect. But at that very time, rabbinic prohibitions are not binding. Therefore, the Eruv is good. And by the way, this represents the end of the long point. What's the point? We needed to set up the circumstances of the Mishnah, and we did, in fact, accomplish that. Amalehu Rav Nachman Yasher. Rav Nachman says, strength be unto you, a great going. V'chein Omar Shmuel Yasher. And Shmuel likewise says, that is correct. It's a good explanation. Omru Lei. Now, here, Omru Lei Pasrisu Ba Kulehai. They said to him, are you explaining? You explained so much with this explanation. If we note the Rashi, let us retract that. We have to go on in the Gemara. We have to clarify here, the speakers, Omru Lei, that's a reference to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, the three rabbis that were sitting together, and they turned to, they said to Rav Nachman, they said, well, you know, how is it that, you know, you say that this is a good pshat, but with this you explain so much? So the Gemara asks, what are they saying that to Rav Nachman? Inu nami hochi ko pasri ba. They were the ones that offered this explanation. So what is their remark? What do they mean when they say, oh, you explained so much with this? Is some kind of cynical-sounding remark or sarcastic-sounding remark when that's their explanation? Ela hochi omru lei. But this is what they said. Chav isu lei bagamora. It's true we offered an explanation for the Mishnah. But are you, Rav Nachman, establishing this as the reliable 100% pshat? Kavisu is like to establish it etched in concrete. Omar Luhu, so Rav Nachman says, in, yes, Itmar Nami, Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Shmuel. And here you see these names, we saw them quoted just before us, Rav Nachman and Shmuel liking this pshat, and this is borne out in the following point. Again, this is a long point, and the house marking highlights what we have on the side under the Mivneh, Shnei Ukimtois LaMishnah, two ways of setting up the Mishnah. So we continue in the Gemara. The Rav Nachman and Shmuel say, Hocha, in our Mishnah, Be'ilon Ha'oimei Bishus HaRabim Askin, we're talking about, like we said before, a tree standing in a public thoroughfare. Govoa Asora V'rochav Arbo, the tree's dimensions are at least they're 10 tfachim high and it's 4 tfachim wide. And iskavi lishbos lamato, and the owner wants to establish his dwelling, his Shabbos location lamata, below. They're in the Rishus Rabbah, in the public thoroughfare. The Rebbe, he, and the Mishnah is in accordance with Rebbe. Damar kol davar shu mishum shvus lo gozru olav bein hashmoshos. As far as the accessibility to the Eruv is concerned on Shabbos, no problem, because it's in accordance with Rebbe that says things that are of a rabbinic, a shvus nature, the taking of the loaf from the tree, which is not allowed on Shabbos, but nevertheless it's not restricted during bein hashmoshos. Again, Bein HaShemoshos is the time, is that twilight period, which is the time the Eruv takes effect and establishes that as his location. We will, as we go on in the Gemara, we're going to take advantage of more diagrams. So we're going to want to have diagram number 2 available in the Pirush Chai. Omar Rava lo shanu ela be'ilon ha'oimed chutz le'ibura shel'ir. The chiluk between Lamato and Lamalo, the tent Fochim Chiluk, is only when you're dealing with a tree that's outside the city. Uh, Avol, and when we say outside the city, the term used here is chutz li'iburo shalir. The ibur is any tree outside the extension of the city. A city is said to continue, if there are houses 70 and two-thirds amos outside a city, the city's limits extend till the outermost house, provided the consecutive houses are within 70 and two-thirds amos of one another. So if you have a tree beyond the 70 and two-thirds amo boundary of the city, that is what we in the Mishnah have been talking about. Avol ilon hoi me besochi buro shel ir. But like in you have in diagram 2, you can see a tree in the bays in diagram 2. That's an ilon that's within the iburo shel ir, that's within the city's boundaries. Afilu lemalo me'asora arei ze eruv. Even if he wants to be shoves lamata on the road, on the floor, and the eruv is up in the tree above 10 tefachim, it's a good eruv. Demaso keman demalio damia. We saw this concept before with regard to a Rishus HaYochid. We said before, Rishus HaYochid Ulurukia, in your mind's eye, a city also is like is in your, all of this are legal terms. A city is considered as if it's like it's filled up. So wherever you place your Eruv, if you're within the city limits, it's considered all right. It's considered you are next to your Eruv. You and your Eruv are on the same location, the same plane. The Gemara asks, Ihochi, if you carry this logic all the way, then chutz liburo shilir nami, even if you're outside the city, kevon the Omar Rova hanoisin iruvo yesh lo arba amois hav yolo reshus hayochid, one who places an eruv at a particular location, he is considered to have four amos around that location. Now, an area of four amos by four amos would be like a private domain. Urushus hayochid oyla larakia. Just like we said before, this concept of a domain going up till heaven, going all the way up, it's considered as if it's one solid entity and no reason for making height distinctions. So we should look at diagram number 3. We say there, the caption reads, Hanoisin eruvo yeshul arba amos, a person who places his eruv, there he places it above 10 tefachim, it shouldn't matter. Even if the tree in the Mishnah is outside Ibur Shalir, the question is, why does the Mishnah make a distinction between within 10 tefachim and above 10 tefachim? Since where you place your eruv, you have an automatic 4 amos all around, and you want to be at the base of the tree within those 4 amos, Kamanda Malya Damya. It's like it's filled up. And the bottom line, the main point to emphasize is Hu ve'eruvo b'mokom echad. He and his eruv are said to be together. So why is there any distinction made between Lamala me'asara and Lamata me'asara? Omar Rav Yitzchok Breid Rav Misharshia. Hocha be'ilon hanoite chutzlar ba'amos askinon. Here, notice the house marking, and we indicated before that these are ways of setting up the Mishnah. So Rav Yitzchok introduces a new model, so to speak. The tree that we have been speaking about is a tree that has a branch leans or it extends more than 4 amos from where he locates himself at the bottom of the tree. Illustration number 4 should be very handy. So we're talking about an ilon hanoite chutzlar ba'amos askinon v'niskaven. We continue at the top of Lamed Gimel v'niskaven. He has an intention lishbos b'ikoro. He wants to be at the base of the tree. Umay lamalo, umay lamato. The expression of lamalo and lamato is, as Rashi explains, is inappropriate if you're talking about a branch that simply is a branch that is a diagonal incline branch. You wouldn't use the term at the Mishnah use of lamata. The Rashi tells you what the alternative expression would be, but it's govoa would be an expression that would be used, but not lamala lamata. Rashi says gavoa and nomuch. Gavoa is high and nomuch is low. But lamala lamata indicates something of a vertical nature. So the Gemara explains, you know what? We're talking really about diagram number 5. As the Gemara says, the Hodar Zokif. So, what do we have? First of all, we have a situation where the Mishnah has to make a distinction between Lamala Lamata, because the branch where the Eruv is located is more than 4 amos. The Eruv is more than 4 amos away from where he is Shoveis. So we don't have the benefit of that which we saw in diagram 3 of the whole enclosed area, so to speak, in the imagined closed area, rising above, establishing a single unit of place. Let us take a look at the Rashi. The Hodar Zokif. The Sof Netiyoso, at the end of the extension of the branch, it then turns into a right angle and rises straight up. Umishkachas bei malu mato bezikifoso, and the concept of being above and below is quite a reality. In bezikifoso means in the erect part of the branch. Gagon de netiyosu kula lamato measora. We have to establish another fact that the entire extension of the branch, as it's veering horizontally, is within 10 tochem of the ground. We have to be able to talk about under 10 and above 10 at the point the branch becomes erect. So in order for us to be able to speak about a point on the branch where it's erect within 10, so the entire horizontal portion has to be within 10, giving the opportunity or the chance to speak about the vertical part being part above and part below. So under such circumstances, we say that if the Eruv is within 10 Tvachim, so it's a kosher Eruv. It's, as we say, it's he and the Eruv are in the same location. Now, as far as his access to the Eruv, being that the Eruv is more than 4 amos away from him, Rashi explains he nevertheless has access to it. The fact that the Eruv is within 10 tfachim of the ground being, technically speaking, it's a Rishus Arabim, it's a public area, it's a public thoroughfare, but being that the Eruv is within 10 tfachim of the ground, he can carry the Eruv let's say walking less than 4 amos each time from where it is to where he is locating himself. And as we said, since he has accessibility at Bein HaShmoshes, you're dealing with Dinim Derabonan, so rabbinic, whatever rabbinic restriction that might be involved is not a problem. So he has access to it, of course, if it's within 10 tfachim on the vertical part of the branch. The Gemara asks, "Vaha e boy diagram number 8." That's on page 78 at the top. Why are we saying that if the Eruv is more than 10 tefachim, is it no good? So, is there not this possibility that you can see in diagram 8? "Vaha e boy maisi lo derech olav." Rashi explains, "Vaha e boy maisi le derech olav ki havi chutz l'arba amos nami ulamala me'asora." Even if the eruv is more than 4 amos away from the base of the tree where he wants to be, and it's more than 10 tefachim, kevon de dalin amos of oilos ad l'rokia, since his own 4 amos go up till the heaven, rishus hayochid hu vehare yochol la'alos. Lo ilon ad lamala me'asora, he can, in your mind's eye, he can go climb the tree till a height of more than 10 tefachim, v'litlo, and take the eruv. Deha kol lo ilon me'asora lamala rishus hayochid. the whole tree from more than 10 tefachim above the ground upwards is a rishus hayochid. Umivienu lemokom shvisaso, and then bring the loaf from where it is lamala meyasara to where he is shoveis there at the base of the tree. So could he not do that? The Gemara answers, kisherabim mekasfin olav. We're talking about a branch. In order for him to do that, this branch, the horizontal part of the branch, is 9 tefachim from the ground. That's why it's within 10 tefachim. It's 9 tefachim. However, it's a branch. It's something that people could lean on, mekasfin, where the public can use it. And there's a very interesting halacha here. A pole that's 9 tefachim high in a public domain, the rabbi mekasfin lov, and the public uses it to rest on, to lean on, that pole has a din of rishus harabim. And in such a case, v'zorak benoch al gabov chayav, if someone, let us say, stood at a distance of 4 amos in a public thoroughfare and threw something that landed on a pole with a height of 9 tefachim, he would be guilty of dalet amos b'rishus harabim. That pole has a din of rishus harabim. Now, what ramification does that have for us? So, since the person, as you can see in diagram 8, would be leaning over and drawing the bread to where he is, over a branch that's 9 tefachim from the ground, that branch has a din of rishus harabim, and drawing something which is called moshit, there are different malachas, and we learned this from the Mishkan, but handing something over or drawing something over that which is classified as rishus harabim is a Shabbos level prohibition. We can take a look in Rashi. A lot of what we're saying might be difficult to follow unless you have a solid understanding of that which we saw already in Maseches Shabbos. So we take a look at Rashi, realizing that our hope is this will give some level explanation. Rashi says, "Kishirab mekasfin al netias hanov shechutz l'arba amoisov." The public will rest on or lean on the branch that extends beyond his 4 amos, hanemucha me'asora, that is within 10 tefachim from the ground. The havi rishus harabim kidula, it has a status of rishus harabim, as Ula taught. The chimaisi lei lamalo me'asora derech avira shel netia, when he leans over, like you saw in diagram 8, drawing the bread to where he is over that branch, he is in effect carrying the bread or drawing the bread over avi rishus harabim, over rishus harabim airspace. Granted, rishus harabim itself doesn't really extend to more than 10 tefachim, but there's another melacha. V'kaimalon b'moishit rishus hayochid derech avi rishus harabim. We hold that when you hand something from one private domain to another private domain over a public thoroughfare, even if you're doing so at a height of more than 10 tefachim, one is chayov. And the reason for that is because that's what took place in the building of the Mishkan. Handing from one cart to another cart that were carrying the beams of the Mishkan, and from going from one cart to the other, you were going over the floor of the Midbar, which was the Rishus HaRabim, and hence there is a Shabbos Torah level prohibition in doing this. And that's why the Mishnah says, L'malo me'asora, being that we've set up the tree as diagram number 8 suggests, L'malo me'asora would be a Shabbos level violation, being that the horizontal part of that branch is at a point of 9 tochim from the ground. And just to remind you before we conclude our shiur, and that is that if you want to be in touch with us, you can reach us at gmarkings@gmail.com. That's gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.